Hey guys, and welcome back to the Six Psychological Podcast. Today, once again, it's just me and Dan. Enzo is still in Rome, living the best life there. Me and Dan are just watching some culture on the TV while Enzo's, I'm sure you guys have seen on our Instagram, Enzo, went to the Monza Roma game and, had a great time there from the looks of it. But today it's going to be a little longer of a podcast. We have to recap match day 3 and then the midweek of match day 4. So just starting off here, I'm just going to list out some of the games that were close, that didn't have too much substance in them. We had Udinese beating Monza 2-1. Beto has been on great form for Udinese this season, and I'm sure we'll talk about him in the match day 4 game as well. We had Torino beating Cremonese 2-1, which is a real shame because I thought that was finally going to be the game Cremonese gets 3 points, but Torino were just the better side. We had Spezia tie with Sassuolo, which is a good point for Spezia. That was a very close game, very back and forth, very entertaining as a neutral. Then we had Lecce tie with Empoli 1-1. That was a bit of a boring game from a neutral perspective. Both teams kind of just were very good defensively and didn't really let much go by. We had Atalanta get the better of Verona, which was a very, very close game, and Atalanta just finally put the nail in the coffin in around the 50th minute. And Verona just couldn't break down Atalanta's defense, which is shocking, considering they're not the best defensive team. And then the first game we're going to start off with is Salernitana-Sampdoria. Dan, what were your thoughts on this game going into the game and then kind of seeing the aftermath of the game?
You know what? I was kind of very surprised. Dia, he just joined from Villarreal, I believe, a couple of days prior to this game. Got a goal and 2 assists on his debut. What a debut he had.
Fantastic.
He was fantastic this game. Bonazzoli got a goal. Even the midfielder, Vilhena, I think that's his name. He had a strong game, I thought. Koulibaly was solid on this game. But for me, it was, I would say, a less surprise based off the way Sampdoria have been playing this year. They haven't looked good at all. I know me and Enz recently, like a couple podcasts ago, I think we mentioned too that Sampdoria, they went from a team that you thought, okay, maybe they can make that push into European football. But it seems like as the years go on, they get worse and worse. They lose a lot of key players. They still have a few good players that if it wasn't for maybe a couple guys on this team, they probably would be relegation. Last year, they probably could have got relegated last year. And I feel like this year, they might be that team, that surprise, kind of like that quote-unquote, that surprise team that some fans may not see that they could get relegated. But based off the way they've been playing, I feel like they could be a strong candidate for bottom 3. And just losing 4-0, I know Salernitana, they got some good players. It's a good story for them based off last year, what Nicola did. He kind of saved them. But really, you shouldn't be losing a team like Sampdoria with some experience in this lineup, like Chicho Caputo up top, Vilar, who was a decent player, Juric, who was an okay player at Sassuolo, Sabiri, who's been, probably you can argue, he's been Sampdoria's best player these last 2 years. They shouldn't be really giving up 4 goals to Salernitana, but give Salernitana a lot of credit. They played very good football this game, and they took advantage of a poor form Sampdoria, and they picked up the key 3 points for them.
Yeah, no, like I said, going into this game, I didn't expect Salernitana to win by that margin at all. I think it was definitely a shock. They played fantastic. I really liked the way they played, and Dia, like you said, Dan, with an incredible debut. He was always on the ball. He was always making plays, and I feel like that brought Salernitana to life, and Sampdoria just had a really bad game. It's a shame because against Juve, they defensively they were amazing, and then you have a team like Salernitana who just exposed them. So very great win for Salernitana, and for Sampdoria they just have to go back to the drawing board and see where they went wrong, and hopefully for match day 5 they kind of pick up the pieces here. But the next game we'll talk about is Lazio-Inter. This game was very interesting considering Lazio on for match day four that we'll get into as well. But Lazio got the better of Inter with 3-1. I think Lazio were definitely the better team. They played. That's just Maurizio Sarri though. Sarri has one good game with Sarri ball, and the next game he kind of falls off. Doesn't help. He doesn't have the players to his disposal that he wants. But Lazio were incredible. Inter kind of, I don't know what happened. I don't know if they just got off of, like, had their foot off the pedal or what. Lukaku with that unfortunate injury that he's going to miss the derby, unfortunately. So we hope he has a speedy recovery. But other than that, Inter didn't do much to impress me. They had a couple of chances here and there. But for the most part, it was all Lazio. Obviously, the game was at the Olympico, so that also helps Lazio's case. And Handanovic had another stinker. I think I remember Onana being a good keeper before the drug incident. But I thought when Onana came, I would have assumed they would move Handanovic in that backup role and play Onana. But we're yet to see him for Inter, which is a bit of a shame because I feel like he'd be a great keeper for them, and he'd be better than what Handanovic is doing as he's getting up there in age. But for the most part, it was a great win from Lazio, and Inter is just a step backwards for if they want to be contending for the Scudetto. What would you think then?
Yeah, I agree. I thought when Felipe Anderson opened up the scoring in the 40th minute, again, good ball by Milinkovic-Savic, who's been very
incredible.
Good so far this season. Yeah, he's been very good so far to start the season. I thought, okay, 1-0 Lazio, they always do this. They always start off on the right foot, and then they'll find a way to end up either tying this game or losing this game. Then Martinez came, who also, for Inter, he's probably been, you can argue, maybe their best player this season.
Yeah.
He's been very informed, and I even have him. If Inter do win the Scudetto, I have him as the MVP candidate for Inter, and he's been proving my case right so far. He's been in incredible form, scoring some big goals for them. Once he made it 1-1, then you go, okay, you know what? This game's on now. You can see that Inter are pushing for a little bit. They were the better side, but then it's like once they took on Vecino and Zaccagni, who, for me, they were kind of poor this game. I didn't really like the way they were influencing the game. They brought in Luis Alberto, who's been very good for Lazio over the past few years.
Yeah, he had a great impact.
And they brought in Pedro, who lately off the bench, he's been having a little impact as well. But once they brought in Luis Alberto, what a goal he scored. That was an incredible goal. We saw some very good, nice goals this weekend and this past midweek games. We still have a few games today, but just the majority of the games, there was a lot of good goals. And this one was one of them. When Alberto scored, what a goal. Handanovic in his midseason form, statue again. But there was nothing he could have done on that goal. And I don't think anyone's saving that goal. And then Pedro solidified the 3 points for Lazio. So once those two guys came in, Lazio took really, you could say, took control of this game. Inter, they really didn't do much after the second goal. It was all kind of like them trying to play catch up, but then Pedro saw it in the third goal to give them a big win. It's a big win for Lazio, and you would think, and now I'm going to tie it into their midweek game against, Sampdoria. You would think they would use this game as a momentum, but again, this is the one thing about Lazio. This is what I feel like that's keeping them away from being, you can say, Scudetto contenders. They can't build off of, they can't build off of momentum, it seems like. It seems like they can play good against these big teams, and then they'll have a letdown midweek, which they did against Sampdoria. Again, what an assist by Milinkovic-Savic's backheel pass to Fanny Mobley, who finished it off nicely. And then you would think, okay, 1-0 Lazio. You think they maybe tack on another goal, play maybe a little bit better against Sampdoria, who, again, they didn't really play that good. Manolo Gagliardini comes off the bench and scores a crucial goal for Sampdoria to help give them a point. And you can say Lazio lost 2 points. And for me, this is one thing that will always keep Lazio maybe different from, say, the top teams such as Inter, Milan, and Juve. They will never build off of momentum. And for me, that's the key thing. If you win a big game, you have to continue that. You have to build more momentum, especially against these small teams, which it seems like now this year, I know it's early in the season, there's going to be a lot of mistakes made by these big teams, a lot of points dropped here and there. But it seems like these smaller teams, they're not scared of these big teams as it once was. Like, you can never go into these games thinking, okay, I'm going to destroy, for example, Lazio. You think they beat Inter 3-1, you would think they go to this midweek game, oh, okay, we're playing Sampdoria, and the game ends 4-0. These smaller teams are going to give these big teams fights. And as we get on in this podcast, we're going to talk about, I'm going to mention it because I witnessed it. These smaller teams, they have a lot to play for, and they're going to play these bigger teams a lot tougher than you once saw. And anyone in Serie A can beat anyone.
Yeah, very well said. Just going off from that, I think it's with these smaller teams, when they're facing a bigger team, I think a lot of the players use it to showcase their ability. They want, obviously, like for teams like Sampdoria or Lecce, they don't want to stay there their whole career. They want to go to a bigger team. They want to win trophies. That's what they're getting paid to do, right? So when they're facing teams like Juve, Napoli, Milan, Roma, those bigger teams, they kind of have that extra bit of motivation to kind of say, hey, listen, we're playing this team. Let me showcase what I can do. So this team can say, hey, that guy's not bad. And hopefully get a transfer there. But touching off on what you said with Sampdoria Lazio, I think, like you said, I think with the midweek games, it's going to be a big problem for a lot of these teams that don't have the most depth, like Lazio, because you're going to start seeing the players getting fatigued. Now, this is only the beginning of the season, so the players shouldn't be that fatigued, but it definitely is challenging when you're having a game like Inter, where you have to give 110% to get the result that they did, and then have to give that same percent to Sampdoria, because without that, you're going to see them drop points, and which they did. They didn't give, they looked tired. They looked like tight on the ball. It was very, very hard to watch for a Lazio fan. They opened off very well with Milinkovic-Savic's beautiful assist to Immobile. Then after that, they kind of just sat back. They were like playing a leggedy ball. They sat back. They didn't do much. They were definitely the better side of the two, but they just didn't create enough chances to secure that win. And that beautiful ball by Rincon, I wish he did that at Juve, but he played an amazing ball to Gabbiadini, who spoiled the party a lot in the last second. So that was a very I remember jumping out of my chair watching that, because I'm like, holy shit, Gabbiadini, that's a good goal. Big points for Sampdoria after that 4-0 loss to Salernitana. And then obviously Lazio got spoiled after beating Inter. So again, back to the drawing board for Sarri, and kind of seeing, get some rest for the players, and seeing how they're going to get this for the season, because the whole season is going to be like this with the World Cup coming up. A lot of midweek games. So teams like Lazio, I feel like, are going to suffer a lot if they can't handle the midweek and the weekend games. But moving on to the game, I want to hear your opinions, Dan, on Milan Bologna. Then we'll talk about Milan Sassuolo as well.
Yeah. So Milan Bologna, it was a good game for Milan. Leao scored a nice goal, and he also had a beautiful assist for Giroud's goal.
Yeah.
I thought Skoruski was Bologna's player of the game.
He was incredible.
Yeah, he was unreal. He made some nice big saves for Bologna, and I feel like if he wasn't in that, probably would have been different. Milan were, for me, the better side by every aspect in the game. They were the better team. They had the better chances. De Cattolar got his assist on Leal's goal, which was a beautiful goal. Big win for Milan. Against a Bologna team who have some good players in this lineup. There's kind of a spunky team. You can't take them lightly. And you would think this game, again, it's early in the season, so it may mean nothing, but they went to Sassuolo, a Sassuolo team who really realistically didn't look good at all against Milan, and then they lost Berardi too, so their goal threat, you can say their only goal threat, it's going to take a big hit. They dropped points against Sassuolo after their game against Bologna. They were it was a weird game for both teams because they both didn't look good. Milan, for me, wasn't really impressive. And I thought they could have played a lot better. Their passing was a little off. They really didn't create much. It was just like a kind of like a stalemate game, you can say. Like, both teams didn't look good and both teams didn't deserve the 3 points. But still early on in the season, they got some good play. They got some players coming in now. I think Florenzi might be out for a little bit, but they got Dest, who is going to be their backup for a little, I guess, just for maybe the season now. They got that young Belgium kid, back Varakin or something, coming in. He's coming from Wolfsburg. He's got some potential coming in. He's going to be a good midfielder for them, an extra body in the midfield. So it was a poor performance midweek against Sassuolo, but they picked up big 3 points against Bologna, and we just got to see what Milan side comes up this weekend in the derby coming up. They play Inter in the derby, some big matchups this weekend, so it's going to be a big one, especially for both teams, because there's going to be a lot at stake early on in the season, especially with Inter kind of, you can say, not playing their best. Milan's not at their best right now. So this is a huge game coming up at these points. All these points, especially early on in the season, are very crucial if you want to go back. If you're a Milan, if you want to become back-to-back champions.
Yeah, no, of course. But like you said, Dan, that game's definitely going to be a huge game. I can't wait to watch. But going into this Sassuolo game, I definitely think Milan were the better team. They were always on the ball. They were always trying to make chances. I just think between Concili and Sassuolo's defense, they were just on it. Especially Concili, I think he had an incredible game. It just, the attack just didn't generate enough on Sassuolo's end to challenge Mike. Obviously, we had that Berardi penalty, which Mike saved, and I think that was the turning point for Milan. I just think, once again, I think it's just these midweek games. Teams are getting tired. And it's tough because, if I recall, I know they play on Tuesday, and then for match day 3, they played on, was it Sunday or Saturday? It was Saturday. So obviously you get those 2 days, you get 2 days of rest on Saturday. You get Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday is the game. So it's not ideal. And with Milan, they're dealing with the injuries too. Obviously, Giroud and Leao were supposed to be off against Bologna due to just a rest, but then they got Origi hurt and Rebic.
I believe.
Yeah, so we're having a lot of injuries this season from the start. Obviously, a lot of teams are going through a lot of injuries, which isn't ideal, and I feel like it's only going to get worse because we're playing every three games with the World Cup coming up and everything like that. So it's definitely going to be an interesting season, and I think the team that winning Scudetto is going to be the team that has the most depth and the best luck with players not getting injured. As it feels like everyone's getting injured. Obviously, we saw Lukaku get injured. For Milan, we have Florenzi, who just got injured. It looked like a really bad injury. He was in tears after. I think I saw he was going to be out for 2 or 3 months. So we'll see.
Messina just got hurt for Udinese as well. Didn't look good. Hopefully it's not too serious of an injury. We just wish him a speedy and safe recovery.
Of course.
Messina. Yeah, so like again, it's because it's too also a lot of these guys realistically, like they preseason too, they were playing every couple of days too. It seems like there was a preseason game. They're training a lot. They're playing a lot now because of the World Cup. So to try and get more games in, before the World Cup. But it's gonna take. So there's gonna be a lot of injuries this year, and just hopefully they're not all. Hopefully a lot of them are not long term. That's all you wish for if you're team. You don't want a long term injury. Injuries are gonna happen throughout the season, but especially now that there's gonna be games. You can say like Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe some games on the Thursday. Who knows? Like it's like today. So just gotta be safe for all the players. And yeah, like it's way too many injuries right now in Serie A, but it's, I guess you people can expect that because of just the way the World Cup is, and they're trying to get a lot of games in before the World Cup break.
Yeah, no, of course. And while I have you here, Dan, I just want to hear your opinions on Napoli's two games this week.
Yeah.
Picking up 2 points against Fiorentina and Lecce.
Yeah, no, I'm going to save those who, if you guys didn't watch the Lecce game, I'm going to save you guys 90 plus minutes of watching it. Napoli, both games didn't look good. I wasn't really impressed with the way we played against Fiorentina. I know it's Fiorentina, so a point on the road, especially in Florence, against a tough Fiorentina side, I guess you could swallow that a little bit easier, but still, we didn't play good at all. I wasn't happy with the way our attackers were playing. Lozano missed way too many chances, missed an easy chance at the back post. Kravashkilia really didn't create much besides that one chance he had. He created, and we couldn't score. We did score, but it was offside. For the Fiorentina game, the rule, for me, I don't understand the rule, but I get the rule. Like, I understand it, but for me, it doesn't make sense. The goalie came up, and he's the last line of defense, but there's a defender on the line. So for me, I think if the defender is behind the goalie, that's the line. That should be the line, but I guess the goalies cannot be a marking point. But it's okay. I'll suck it up because we didn't play good at all. We didn't deserve the 3 points. And then now against Lecce, we did not look good at all. I wasn't impressed with the way we played. A lot of passing. But no creativity in the forwards. Raspadori against Fiorentina, he looked like himself from his first old days. He was creating a lot of chances. He looked good. His link-up plays with Osimhen and Kravashvili were okay. But against Lecce, he didn't have a strong game. And I expected this from Napoli because of just the six. First of all, we made way too many changes. Against Lecce, we had 6 changes from the game against Fiorentina, which is way too much, especially for a lot of these guys. They haven't really played together, and they really didn't play much in preseason as well. So for me, this was not an ideal thing to do. Way too many changes. We should have kept a couple guys in the lineup. Maybe Kravashvili should start on the left. Play Raspadori in the mid, Politano. And maybe a guy like Ostigard, give him a chance. Him and Kim, for me, were the two best players for Napoli. They were excellent. They won a lot of aerial duels. They won a lot of ground duels. And their partnership was very good. Madad made a huge save on the penalty shot. Nothing he could have done on the goal. It's not his fault.
Beautiful goal.
Yeah, beautiful
goal. Beautiful goal.
Not taking away anything from Colombo, but again, it's Napoli's fault. For me, Ndombele wasn't the best. I wasn't really happy with his performance. He did a lot of good. He did a few good things, especially dribbling, taking the ball up, winning fouls. But defensively, you could tell he was lazy on that play. And instead of marking player on his right, he should have stepped up to Colombo, especially because no one else was stepping up. He should have taken that risk, step up, get a block. Who cares if it goes off a corner, whatever. But no one watched them. Too much time on the ball. Colombo made us pay. And I know Almas and Politano, they got a goal and assist. But for me, I wasn't really impressed with the way Almas was playing. I didn't think he did much, especially because he was on the wing. I expected more from him. But for me, I wouldn't play him on the wing ever again. I would put Raspadori since he's played left wing before or left cam because we were doing a 4-2-3-1. Politano, he needs to be better. He was poor. Our wingers, this game, they were both games. You can say they were poor. It seemed like those who came off the bench made a bigger impact than those who started. Politano needs to do, he needs to do better for me. There's a lot of chances. He scuffed. He had shots that he needed to hit the net. He ended up not hitting them. Our midfield was, I would say, to start the game against Lecce, was a disaster. Anguissa and Ndombele did not have a strong game at all. I don't think they had strong games. Anguissa, for me, was probably the man of the match for Napoli against Fiorentina, especially despite picking up a questionable yellow early on in the game. He did well to play his game, you can say. And for me, the man of the match, but the one who I thought changed the game a lot was Laboca. When he came in against Lecce, our team looked like a completely different team. He was picking up pockets of space, which I didn't really see in the first half. None of our midfielders were picking up that pocket of space, helping spreading the play. Help, again, with the press. Both teams pressed us well. Maybe more Fiorentina pressed us well, their high press, which they isolated Laboca, and that's the main factor why we didn't score and didn't play good. But against Lecce, they sat back, they defended us really well. That right back, I can't remember his name, he had a strong game for Lecce. I believe, yeah.
Gendry.
He had a very strong game for Lecce. He was defending Raspadori, Clavaschilia really well. And that guy Banda was giving Di Lorenzo problems all game. For me, Lecce they played tough. I was really impressed with the way they played. I was shocked that we didn't end up scoring two or three goals. But our forwards couldn't create nothing. Our team didn't create much opportunities. We need to be better against Lazio. It's going to be tough because Lazio are a strong team. And they can play better football than Lecce. So we need to create more. We need to take our opportunities because a team like Lazio will make us pay if we can convert on their chances. And, yeah, it's just back-to-back poor results for Napoli, mainly poor performances as well. It's just unlucky. I know it's the fourth game of the season. Fans, we shouldn't be overreacting. But some fans claim that we're a quote-unquote Scudetto team. I don't see it, especially now based off these results. I think a lot of fans got, you can say, back to reality. Or no, reality is top four. But if we want to make top four games against Lecce, especially at home, we have to be picking up the 3 points. You can't be tied to a team like Lecce at home. The Fiorentina result I can suck up a little bit because Fiorentina are a tough team, especially at home. They're a very good side. They got some good players. Italiano's a very good coach. So that I can suck up a little bit more. But the result against Lecce, it ruined my day yesterday. Like you could say, like I know we didn't lose, which, knock on wood, it's a good thing. But can't be tied to a team like Lecce at home. Like you have to be picking up the 3 points. And especially the way that we played, it was very poor, especially from our strikers to our Simeone. He was okay coming in, but you got to give him more minutes. You can't be giving him 5 minutes a game. You have, like, Osimhen was struggling. These last two games, he was struggling, you can say, to make an impact. And Spalletti should have taken off Osimhen early on in the game, put Simeone, because Simeone, we brought him in to make an impact off the bench to start some games too. So I feel like you should be playing him more. We don't have Petagna say, who, okay, you put in for 15 minutes, try to win across in the box. You got Simeone. This guy just scored 17 goals last year for Verona. So you got to start playing him more. And I just blame the players was poor. The choices were even more poor by Spalletti. Hopefully he learns from this. And next time we do have a midweek game, especially against a team in the, we'll just say like a kind of like a smaller team, you can say, quote unquote. He doesn't make as many changes as he did this game because clearly it didn't work. And hopefully now we can focus on picking up 3 points against Lazio, which is going to be a hard task to do.
Yeah, no, well said. I think with Spalletti, I think 6 changes is a little too much. But at the same time, I could understand it considering you're having this midweek game. You want to rest the players against Lazio. And the players on the field arguably should be more than enough. to get a result against Lecce, especially at the Maradona. I just think with those men, he played very poor, similar with Fiorentina. I didn't think he had the best of games. I think with Ndombele, I think it's going to take a bit of time for him to kind of get used to the league and get used to the team. Same with Vespadori and Simeone. I think it's going to take them a little time just to gel with the team and kind of see what they need to do. With Vespadori,
it's tough because Vespadori, he joined, like you say, after the first game. Simeone didn't really participate in preseason with Verona, and he joined Napoli kind of after the first game as well. Ndombele, after the first game. We didn't really have much options after the first game. Like, they really didn't perform in preseason, so you could say they're kind of in their preseason legs, at least with Ødegaard and a little bit of Oliveira, because Oliveira was with the team, but he was hurt. Ødegaard and looked phenomenal. Like, he looked
unbelievable. He looked great. Yeah, he had a great game.
He looked good yesterday. And it helped because him and Kim, they practiced together. They were with each other in preseason. A lot of these guys, okay, I can understand maybe start Kvaratskhelia, put Raspadori and Politano and put Osimhen. Okay, I can understand that because these guys, they all played in the league. Kvaratskhelia knows the system a little bit. I can understand maybe two or three changes, but not six, especially with all new guys coming in. And people want to say, oh, but with the guys we have out there, we should be beating Lecce. Yeah, you can argue that, but these guys don't know each other. Ndombele just got to the team last week. Simeone and Vespadori, they really haven't played in preseason. Well, Simeone hasn't really played in preseason, and Vespadori just got to the team a couple games ago. So you have to ease your way into these teams, and it's easier to play against a Serie C team than it is against a Serie A team. So, obviously, like, I'm not going to overreact saying, oh, these guys are not good, blah, blah, blah. That's an overreaction. But just the team performance wasn't good, and I mainly blame Spalletti for bringing in these six changes. They should have only done two or three.
Yeah, but at the same time, Dan, I feel like with all these midweek games, it's Spalletti's job to kind of manage everyone. And I feel like with the six changes, yeah, it's a bit too much, but again, like, he has to integrate these players in somehow. And again, a home game against Lecce would be the perfect opportunity to do it.
Obviously, yeah, but I would think too, like, say for example, because of just, I know we have a game against Lazio, say you start Laboca and Gisa, and say Raspadori in the camp, you put the two holding as Laboca and Gisa. I think if Laboca started this game, he would have had a bigger impact. Napoli would have looked like a better side. That's just my opinion. Because once he came in, all of a sudden, our midfield space was opening up. He was dropping in, collecting from the defenders, bringing it up, taking touches, winning a lot of... He won a lot of ground... he won a lot of tackles this game. Intercepted the ball a lot. He did more in the span of 15 minutes than Agüero had. Ndombele did the whole game, which for me, like, it's just saying I would just start Laboca, even if he comes off in the 60th minute, say you want to rest him. Ndombele off the bench is a scary thing to have because he could give him half an hour, he could change a game in half an hour. Ndombele, that's the type of player he is. He's just at times he's lazy and he just doesn't seem into it. But if you put him off, bring him off the bench for 30 minutes, say in a close game, he's going to make that impact, I feel. Which I feel like as the year goes on, that's what Spalletti might have to do. Maybe give him a start here and there, but he might have to put him in, like, in critical situations sometimes just to get him into the game, which I feel like that could be the idea for most of these guys.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something Spalletti's going to have to discover and kind of see how Ndombele gets on for the next couple of games and the next couple of months, is kind of see how his role is going to be, if his role is going to be affected at all. But I think most of Napoli playing poor is from the source of Osimhen. I think if Osimhen has a great game and he's creating a lot and he's getting into those spaces, I think Napoli are getting these wins. We saw it at the beginning of the season. I think now when he has a poor game, the rest of the team kind of feeds off of Osimhen and he has a poor game. Even when Kvaratskhelia came on. He looked okay, but he didn't look like how we saw him in the last, in the previous match days. I think he was doing a little too much on the ball instead of being very simple and fundamental. He was kind of doing those skills to try to beat his man, and it just wasn't working for him against Fiorentina or Lecce. It just wasn't working for him, and I think he needs to try to see how else he could impact the game. I think with the first couple of match days, he was incredible because no one has known his game style. No one knows how he plays. And now teams are studying him to see that this is what he's going to do. This is how he's going to do it. And teams are watching his tapes against those first couple of match days with Napoli and saying, okay, this is how we're going to defend him. And I think against Fiorentina and Lecce, it worked. He wasn't able to get into that the space he wanted. He wasn't able to get into the pockets he wanted. And you stop him. You stop Osimhen, who just had poor games. And you're going to stop Napoli. I think once Raspadori gets up to speed with the system, I think it'll be good. It'll be another threat that defenders have to watch out for. But as of right now, it's really Osimhen. And then Kvaratskhelia that you need to stop, which defenders are having a very, I'm not going to say easy time, but from these past two games, they didn't seem to do too much to stop these players. And I think with Osimhen, Dan, you made a good joke the other day when I was asking if Osimhen was wearing his mask these past couple of days because he hasn't scored. Yeah. And you said, I think he's wearing it a little too tight. Now, honestly, that might be the case. I think with Osimhen, once again, I think he's too worried about his face getting broken again than actually going into these challenges. I feel like once you have that mask, you should be more confident in going into these headers and challenges, but it feels like he's less confident with it on, and he's still a little frightened and scared. So I think as a striker, you can't really be scared to go for the ball and go for the challenge, because defenders are going to see, okay, he's scared, so I could go a little bit more into the ball because I know he's not going to challenge me. And it gives that defender that extra bit of confidence.
For me too, I think the last few games too, I think Osimhen's got to stop with going down too easy. There's been a lot of times where he can take on this guy, just try to get some strength, but like...
He has a good amount of strength. He's just not using it.
Yeah, it seems like at times he's not using it. And there's a lot of times where he goes down way too easy. He's just got to play his game. Just don't get frustrated, because if you start going down too easy, then all of a sudden they're going to be like, okay, you know what? This guy's making a mockery out of us. Let's go in hard. Then that's when defenders get frustrated and they go in hard on you. And then that's when you get hurt. You got to just worry about your game. If the guy is following you, okay. Just forget about it. Put it in the back of the net. It seems like the last few games, he's been getting frustrated because of the lack of service, and that's just leading him into making poor decisions with the ball. When he's on the ball, he loses it. I know there's a lot of times he gets grabbed, he gets kind of held, because he's a physical striker. He likes to win the ball in the air. He can outpace any center back in the league, and he's tall too, and that's why a lot of defenders, they like to play physical on him. He's just got to learn to... Okay, this is the Serie A. There's going to be a lot of physical defenders. He's just got to remember, okay, what do I do best? My best skills are I can run in behind and I can finish. That's what he's got to do. And I feel like now Napoli needs, and also too, we got to start playing to his strengths again, because it seems like a lot of times we just try crossing and hope he gets the header. That's not always going to work. We have to let him run in behind, let him run in the outside, let him cut in. That's his strength. And once he's in all alone, no one's going to catch him, and he has a chance to finish. So we just got to start playing to his strength, and hopefully against Lazio we can find our form again.
Yeah, no, of course. But talking about the next game up here, I want to talk about Roma Monza before we get into Juve Roma and then Juve Spezia, obviously. Obviously, this is the game that Enzo went to, and it's pretty funny because I feel like after that Juve game, which we're going to talk about in a minute, Roma played very poor in that game. And I feel like this was a great wake-up call for them. Obviously, at the Olimpico, I guess not the strongest team, Monza, who have been very poor this season. But Enzo got to see live, and before the game, he told me, he's like, oh, watch, Dybala's not going to score his first goal until I'm in the stadium. He's going to wait for me to score his first goal for Roma. And that was the case. He scored his first brace for Roma with two beautiful goals. And then obviously Ibanez finished it off with the third goal, the cherry on top. And I feel like this game, Roma were very dominant and they played very well. I think they're starting to gel a bit more. Obviously with no Zaniolo, it was a little tough. But I feel like this quartet, well, the trio for now until Zaniolo comes back, but I feel like they're starting to get into each other's heads and know where, like, everyone's going to be at all times. And I think they're starting to gel a bit more. I think with Roma, their biggest challenge is finishing. And they haven't been able to finish the ball. They've been creating the chances they need to. And they've been doing everything else incredibly well, except for that final touch of finishing the ball, putting the ball in the back of the net. And I think this game, they had a really good game with that. Dybala finished when he needed to. And I think they could have had a bit more chances where they could have scored. Monza's keeper kind of made a save here and there. But for the most part, every chance that they had that should have went in did go in. And I think if Roma continue on this trajectory, they're going to be a very dangerous team, especially when Zaniolo comes back. But once again, I think against Monza, I think Abraham played a bit more of a creator role than a finisher. He kind of just let Dybala do his thing, and which he did. And Abraham kind of assisted that. And I think that's how well the system's going to work with Mourinho. It's hard because usually you have your goal scorer. And you know to lock them down. Obviously, Juve have Vlahovic, Napoli have Osimhen, Lazio have Immobile, Inter has Lukaku and Lautaro. I think with Roma, it's supposed to be Abraham. But with Mourinho's system, they're like, okay, Abraham's going to be the goal scorer this game, but next game is going to be Dybala. Next game is going to be Zaniolo. So I think it's as defenders and as teams trying to study Roma, it's very hard for you to kind of make a game plan because you don't know which player is going to drop back to create and which player is going to be the goals for that game, be the main focus for goals. Obviously, we saw against Monza, it was Dybala for this game. And I feel like for a lot of games, it's going to be Dybala because that's just the player he is. But at the same time, once Abraham gets on that score sheet with Dybala, and then you add Zaniolo and Pellegrini to the equation, it's going to be very scary. And it's good to see for the Serie A, how dangerous this quartet's going to be. And like I said, for now, it's the trio. But even then, like, you're missing a crucial player like Zaniolo, and it didn't even look like he was a big miss for how well they played against Monza. But before we get into the Juve game, Dan, what were your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, no, you summed it up pretty well. Roma obviously were the best side. Diego Gori made some nice saves throughout the game, but wasn't enough. Monza really didn't create much, anything at all. But one thing Dybala did well, I'm going to give him a lot of credit. He was very clinical this game.
Yeah.
On both goals from him, I forgot what I was going to say, but both goals from him, he took advantage of two mistakes by the Monza defense. I believe both of them came from Moroni. Just a header up by Abraham, just to screw it, Dybala's up there somewhere. Took the ball nicely, very, very clinical finish. It was a beautiful goal he scored, the first goal. Second one was more of a defensive. He not only stepped up, got in behind. I believe it might have been Pellegrini that won that second ball in. And then he put it in, but the nice deflection off Dybala and got home, deserved it. Well, Dybala was very good this game. He was influential throughout the whole game. Good link-up plays between him, Abraham, and Pellegrini. Just finishing as well. He took advantage of the mistakes that Monza made. And it's funny because watching Dybala play for Roma, it seems like he has more of a freedom role than he did at Juve at times. Juve at times, they would slot him in, but it seems like under Mourinho, he just gives him the freedom to go wherever he wants and create.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, him and Pellegrini under Abraham, oh, that's two good creative midfielders. Maybe more Pellegrini as a midfielder, but two creative players, I could say, under Abraham. That's a very scary trio, indeed. And it's funny, too, because Abraham, it seems like he, at times, plays that cam role, too. There's a lot of times where he drops in, holds up the ball, wins a lot of fouls, links up well with Dybala. And at the end of the season, who knows if Abraham's going to have maybe a double-double, maybe 10 goals and assists with the way he's been playing.
Yeah.
Gets a lot of link-up plays. He's obviously in the box. You have to mark him because this guy can win any header in the box. But him and Dybala, all of a sudden, they're forming a very scary partnership that some maybe fans around the world, they're going to start to take notice because of just how good so far they've been playing together.
Yeah, very well said. Like you said, I think that the partnership they're creating, it's still very early on in the season, so it's going to take time to kind of perfect the partnership, not only between Tam and Dybala, but between the entire quartet as a whole. And I think, like you said, you made a good point about Mourinho's system with Dybala. I think with Allegri, it's very defensive, which doesn't suit Dybala, doesn't suit any attacker's play style, really. But with Mourinho, he's giving Dybala that freedom. He knows the player Dybala is and his capabilities. So he's like, Dybala, listen, this is what I want you to do. Do it. This is all I ask of you. You do the rest. You play your game. And I feel like he's been playing his game. And like I said, the first couple of games, he's had a lot of chances where he should have finished and should have scored more goals than he has. He was just getting unlucky by hitting the post or just going a bit wide. But now against that Monza game, he was very clinical. He scored when he needed to, and the chances he should have scored, he did. So we're going to see how this continues. Obviously, they have a very tough game against Udinese coming up. So we'll see how he converts and how he continues to play. And obviously, if he stays healthy, that's going to be huge. That's going to be another issue Mourinho's going to have to kind of delegate is how much he plays and when he plays, because he does get injured quite a lot from Juve. But we also had a very shit medical team. So I think at Rome, they fired everyone and got a whole new medical staff, from what I'm aware of. So maybe that medical team is a lot better and he's conditioning a lot more Dybala and doing everything he needs to be. But we'll see how his season continues for Roma. But going back now to match day 3, where Juve-Roma, I'm going to start off here with Juve's performance. I think, obviously, the first 2 minutes, Dusan scored that beautiful goal, that beautiful free kick, and it brings tears to my eyes, seeing that we actually have someone who can take a free kick now. Obviously, when I talk about Spezia, we're going to talk about his other beautiful free kick. I think the first half, we were incredible. We were dominant. We were making chance after chance. We just couldn't convert as much, but I feel like Meretti was incredible this game, creating the chances. Cuadrado was all right. Kostic, again, he was creating the chances. Vlahovic was great. And I feel like our defense, for the most part, worked out with Danilo and Bremer as center backs. And then Sandro and Dichilio, I think they played their game well. The only thing is, with Locatelli, who scored a beautiful goal, that's a bit of a questionable call for me. I could understand why they gave the handball. But at the same time, Cristante did push Vlahovic, and when you push someone, you're going to kind of jerk your body and have your hands out, and that's it was unfortunate to get that goal taken away. And then Alexandro in the box didn't mark Dybala properly, classic Alexandro thing, and he got that ball, and it was I was debating Enzo with this. I called it a lucky goal. He was saying, no, Dybala meant to do that, which obviously Dybala did mean to do that. It just, the delivery that got to Tammy and the way Tammy got the ball, it was just a very lucky incident. But obviously Dybala did mean to pass it there. It was just unfortunate on Juve's end that the ball did go to Tammy the way it did. And he spoiled the party for us with a much-needed win for us after tying Sampdoria. But a team like Roma, I always said it to the rest of my friends as well. I'm glad we faced Roma this early on in the season before that quartet could gel, because once that quartet gels, they're going to be very scary. And having them a bit raw I feel like we could have capitalized, and I feel like we should have, especially in that first half. In the second half, we kind of classical equity, we shut off, like always, and we let Roma do their thing. But before I ask your opinions, and I think one thing that's very interesting with Roma is they haven't had retention of the ball much, possession wise. They've definitely been the team who doesn't touch the ball much, but when they do, they convert. And I think they asked Mourinho in a press conference about this too, about the possession, because against Monza had the ball most of the game. Against Juve had the ball most of the game, but Roma still converted the chances, especially against Monza, when Monza had, I think they had like 60 or 65% possession, if I'm not mistaken. They had the ball, from watching, they had the ball a lot of the game, and Roma, just when they had the ball, they just scored. So I think it's interesting the way Mourinho's playing. He's playing off of the other team instead of playing Roma. He's waiting till the other team makes a mistake and then they pounce, which is very interesting. You're going to see how that correlates for the rest of the season, especially in Europa League and everything. So I'll be intrigued to see how that pans out. But what are your thoughts on the Juve-Roma game, Dan?
Yeah, no, it was a very entertaining game. But as a neutral, Dybala going back to Turin, getting an assist on Tammy's goal. Yeah. Great assist it was. Beautiful free kick by Vlahovic. Questionable Locatelli disallowed goal, but I can see why they gave it. But for me, I'm going to go back on to Roma's perspective just a little bit. I didn't like the way the midfield played at all that game. I didn't like the way Cristante and Matic played. I didn't think they were controlling the mid enough for them to pick up the 3 points. So a point, you can say, is justified for Roma's sake. Juve were the better side that game. And just playing wise, Juve were the better side. Bad marking on the goal, like you said, Finch. And Moretti, this kid's good, man. Like, I gotta give him credit.
He's been great.
I'll give credit where credit's due. I can't stand Juve with a passion, but I'm not gonna say, oh, okay, he plays for Juve's garbage and all. Moretti is good, even with the under 19. So you can show, he was showing his class and his talents. This kid's gonna be definitely a good midfielder in the future if Juve can develop him in the proper way. Knowing them, they're gonna probably send him out on loan like for 4 years, and he's never gonna play after this year.
Well, so far he's been starting, so it's good to see.
It's good, but also too, who knows? Like, you know, when Pogba comes back, who knows if this guy's gonna be playing with now with Paredes? Never know. Like with Allegri, this guy likes to, if he's gonna play a veteran, he's gonna play a veteran over these youngsters. But for me, Moretti's been, you could argue, he's probably been Juve's best midfielder in these last few games.
Yeah, easily.
He's been creating a lot. He's been just showing his class, and the kid's 18, 19 years old. So just for him to play up to this level, it shows quality, and it shows that he's could be a class player in the future. But it was a very good result for Roma's sake. Going into 30, it's a very tough place to play, getting a point. For Juve, yeah, I feel like they could have deserved the 3 points, but at the end of the day, you're playing Mourinho's Roma. Mourinho's going to have these guys ready for any big game. So it was a very interesting game. And just as a neutral, it was very entertaining to see two, you can say, heavyweights go at it.
Yeah, no, of course. And like moving swiftly to Juve's midweek game, I think it was two different Juve sides, even though we got the points we needed. I think against Roma, we played extremely well in the first half. In the second half, we kind of fell asleep. And against Spezia, even though we won 2-0, I didn't think we played the greatest. Obviously, Vlahovic with another incredible free kick in the first 10 minutes of the game. And you love to see it. Hopefully, he continues this form, because we need, I think, with set pieces, if you have players who can take a free kick, have players who can take a corner, and then obviously have players who can take a penalty, and you make the most of these set pieces. I feel like for the past couple of seasons, we haven't had anyone, for the most part, be able to take a free kick or be able to deliver a corner as well. And it just, it hinders you, because defenders should be like, okay, you know what? They don't have a free kick taker who's going to convert. So we could, if worst comes to worst, we could tackle them, Big deal. What are they going to do? They're going to hit the wall. They're going to go over. We get the ball back. Same with corners. They're like, okay, yeah, we could give them corners because they're not going to do anything off of it. And I feel like this season we've had that where Di Maria and it's been Di Maria for the most part, who's been having great balls in the box for eight deliveries where we've almost scored. And this season now, so far, we've seen Vlahovic taking these free kicks and converting them. So that's it's good to see. And I feel like teams are going to be a little bit more hesitant to foul us that close to the box now, or to give us those corners, because we've been utilizing our set pieces, which is incredible. But once Vlahovic scored, we kind of turned off the jets and we were very meh. We didn't create much. We kind of let Spezia do their thing. And again, they didn't do much. They had that goal that was deemed offside, which was the right call. But I think it's weird with Chesney. Even against Roma, I would have played Padin against Roma. Obviously, it's not Chesney's fault that the goal went in. Keeper couldn't do anything there. But I think coming off of an injury, especially with a goalkeeper, I think you need to play him in the right game in the right moment. You can't kind of just rush him back in, especially with Padin, who's been playing incredibly well. There was no need to kind of put Chesney on this early, and I think it costed us now against Spezia. He had that chance where the ball was in the box and he could have easily caught it, and he should have caught it. And because he didn't catch it, he landed wrong on his foot and twisted his ankle. So he's going to be out for a little while again, which I wish the best for him. But at the same time, I think Padin's just been in better form this season, even last season as well. Chesney, he always starts off the season very poor, and then as the season goes on, he gets better and better. So I think for the beginning of the season, Padin has been playing, and he's been playing incredibly well. There's no reason to bench him at this moment. I think you give Chesney as long as possible to fully recover before integrating him back in the squad. But I think Padin deserves a starting spot for the next little while until Chesney's fully fit. But other than that, I don't think any team's created much chances throughout the game. And then right at the death, Meretti with a fantastic ball to Milik to score his first goal for Juve. Obviously the finish was incredible, but the ball was even better. And once again, Meretti was for me one of the man of the matches for this game. I feel like the wings were horrible. Cuadrado was terrible this game, constantly turning over the ball and not doing what he needs to do. And Moise Kean was. He was like non-existent. I feel like once Di Maria came in and Kostic, I think they definitely helped a lot. But creativity wise, Di Maria almost got an assist, but Danilo just couldn't finish the ball. Unfortunately, it would have been a fantastic assist if Danilo got a little bit more luck on his side with finishing there. But nonetheless, we got the 3 points and we move. And it's a very tough game against Fiorentina this week, so we'll see how we see there and how Jovic kind of deals with our defense. Because even we've been talking about these new signings and the impacts they've been having. Jovic kind of hasn't he's been a little quiet since he scored that goal. So let's see if he picks up that form against Juve or if he continues in his little slump that he's having. But for the most part, I'm interested to see how we come out with Fiorentina. Hopefully Di Maria starts if he's fully fit. Obviously, I don't want to rush him, but I believe he will start, and it's going to be interesting to see Meretti again. I believe he will start if I'll be intrigued to see if Paredes starts. I'll really like to see him. Maybe Paredes, Locatelli, Meretti. I would like to see that trio in the midfield and see how they gel and how we play like that. And once again, hopefully Bonucci's back, because even though Gatti and Danilo and Rugani have been doing their role, I think Bonucci just adds that extra comfort in the back, especially with the long balls that he possesses to get the ball out of there. But overall, it was a very interesting two match days with a lot of injuries, a lot of surprising score lines, and we'll see how the season continues. Obviously, for this game, we have a lot of tough games. We have Fiorentina, and then we have PSG on Tuesday. So we'll see how Allegri kind of correlates that. Maybe bench Di Maria if you have to against Fiorentina to have him fully rested for PSG, because obviously I want the best players to Juve's disposal against PSG. And hopefully no one gets injured against Fiorentina, because we will need them for PSG. Away from home is going to be tough. But we'll see how we do. And Dan, quickly, how did you see Juve Spezia compared to Juve Roma?
Yeah, well, I couldn't obviously watch the game because it's three other
times. Same time as Napoli that day.
Napoli, and yeah, but just looking at like feedback from other people online and just hearing your opinions, it seemed like Juve didn't play good after their free kick. Free kick goal by Vlahovic, which was another beautiful goal. But at the again was, this is from other people's opinions because I didn't really watch it. And after yesterday's performance, I just wasn't even in the mood to look at the highlights. I was just so disappointed. Moretti again continued to impress. Milik got the goal, which surprisingly he scored on his debut for Napoli too. And then we all know Napoli fans know history after. But besides that, yeah, it was just a big 3 points, especially now that they're playing Fiorentina, which we all see that Fiorentina is not an easy team. Especially in Florence, they're going to be playing up to their level. It's going to be a very tight game. It's going to be interesting to see how Fiorentina line up for that game. See if they're, especially coming off a, you could kind of say like kind of like a disappointing game against Udinese. So we know, let's see what Fiorentina team comes out. Because they're a very tricky side. They got some good players. Dodo was incredible for them against Napoli.
Yeah, he's been in great form.
We'll see if he can continue that against Fiorentina. Against Juve. See how they play him. It'll be interesting to see if Sortillo gets the start. Because just based off like recent results, he was good against Napoli, but he couldn't finish. Ikone was a difference maker for them, and he's been good. So we'll see what Fiorentina side line up against Juve, but they're going to be a very tough team, and their press, I'm very intrigued to see how Juve deal with their high-pressing ability.
Yeah, so speaking of these games, Fiorentina-Juve, Saturday, I think everyone needs to take off work. Three huge games, Fiorentina-Juve, then you got the Derby Milan-Inter, Lazio-Napoli. I feel like those just Sunday's filled with Calcio. Obviously, you started off with Fiorentina Juve at 9 a.m. Eastern. Then you get Milan Inter at 12 Eastern. And you finish the day off with Lazio Napoli. I think three incredible games. Sunday, you still have good games, but not to the extent of Saturday, obviously. And then Monday, Atalanta's been getting lucky with the schedule, you know, for a team that doesn't have much going on for them. They've been getting these Monday games. Obviously, since they are playing today, it does make sense that they get the Monday game. But they've been getting a good schedule, whereas other teams have been getting a little lucky. But at the time of recording, guys, Bologna and Salernitana and Atalanta Torino haven't played. So I'm going to be looking forward to those games, especially Atalanta Torino, to see how they pan out. But I think that's everything. Obviously, today, I think it was yesterday, actually, the last day of the Mercato.
No, today.
It's today's the last day of the Mercato, so we'll see how teams kind of end off.
I don't expect much today. I think we're done.
I believe Juve's done bringing in players, but I think offloading, we might send off our tour, hopefully. So yeah, we'll see.
Not they're going to pull a last-minute deal for Ronaldo.
That would be something. But I think if that United deal was actually real, I think Napoli should have bit the bullet there. But again, I don't think it was real.
It was all in Mendes' head.
Yeah, there's no way United would have offered that much for Osimhen plus giving them Ronaldo. It was a little too much of a dream there, but
FIFA career mode.
Yeah, for real. But that's everything we have for you guys this week. Next week we have a big podcast coming up. Obviously, we're gonna have these big games to talk about the weekend, and obviously, We have Europe returning. We'll have Champions League, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Europa League is also this week. Well, this week next, like on the 6th and 7th is Champions League. I'm just gonna confirm if Europa and Conference League, are this week as well. Yeah, so September 8th, Europa League starts off. So we'll have a lot of things to talk about between Europe and the big city match day coming up. Dan, do you have any final words to say?
Yeah, so I just want to say thank you guys for all the support you've been giving us since we started this account. Check us out on Twitter at @SixEyeCalcio, Instagram at @SixEyeCalcio. You can find this podcast on any podcast platform, Google Podcast, Spotify,
Apple Podcast.
It's just the @SixEyeCalcio podcast. We just want to say thank you guys from all of us just for the continuous support you show us each and every day. Especially with this Mercato, it's very tough posting news and stuff. There's a lot of news that goes on, especially the time difference between us. So sometimes we see them late due to the time, but we try our best to keep you updated with the latest news and just our opinions and stuff. So truly appreciate all the support you guys give us, and thank you.
Hey, guys. Like Danny said, thanks for all the support. Ciao.
Ciao, guys.